Welcome back. My next guest is Nestor J. Aparicio. Happiness these days, celebrating the 4th of July, still, I believe, in what's been a weird and wacky week. But then again, Ness, it's always a weird and wacky week, and I see you got some delicious peach cake.
Well, I mean, you're wondering what's going on here. What's going on is that they're making peach cake. It's July. It's the All-Star Game. I was thinking about this week. The All-Star Game's coming up. This is the 30th anniversary here.
Nice. Okay.
I mean, I hadn't thought about that, but I thought July 1993. What was my life like in July of 1993, right?
Ow.
You know, little nasty Nestor on WITH doing afternoon drive out of a hotel ballroom down at the Lord Baltimore, and we're celebrating 25 years. But we're celebrating 25 years of NST. The All-Star Game came 5 years before the station existed, and like – that feels like a weird juxtaposition because it all feels like it all happened at the same time. Cal Ripken, the Ravens come in, all that stuff that happened in the 90s. But 30 years next week for the John Kruk and the Randy Johnson and the Free Willy and the Kirby Puckett and Geddy Lee. I ran into Geddy Lee at the All-Star Gala at the Maryland Science Center eating Harvest vegetables. He autographed my gala ticket. So it's the 30th anniversary of me running into Geddy Lee in Baltimore randomly.
That's wildness. You know what? You know you're getting up there at age when you start talking with time in terms of decades, right? That was a good decade versus that was a good year. And I find myself saying a lot about that lately, whether I'm talking about WNST, as you mentioned, the Ravens, All-Star Game, Orioles, and what have you.
Well, I think now that we've lived through a plague, an insurgency politically, we've lived through all sorts of things here. The fascinating part for me with sports, and this has been – really since the beginning of the year, I guess since they threw me out of the Super Bowl and I didn't get to go to the Super Bowl, but the Terps kind of caught fire. The Orioles from opening day on have been relevant. The Ravens have been relevant in the Lamar Jackson. The Lamarathon was relevant. Now they're relevant in our minds for the next 4 weeks, really 8 weeks until they play football, that we think they're going to be good. This is a little bit of a renaissance for Baltimore in that way. And I saw something recently, maybe it has something to do with CFG Bank and the arena, but I saw some old Bullets stuff from like 70, 71, 72. And it said Baltimore, City of Champions. And I guess that's from the Orioles and the Colts and Super Bowl III and V and the Orioles in 69, 77. I mean, you know, my dad would always say that, but my dad always talked about 69, you know, like, Jets beat the Colts, the Orioles lost to the Mets and then the Knicks came and beat the Bullets, you know? So I think about what that was when I was a kid, 1973, 74, 75, when I first started engaging with sports. And if you were a kid engaging with sports here, you'd only have the Ravens, really. I mean, you're kids of the modern generation. And this feels like the beginning of some baseball stuff here where they go up to New York this week. They lose a couple games, then they win a game. You feel like they're in it for All-Stars this week. Sports has become relevant in 2023 again. And I'm glad I live long enough to at least see that.
You and I both, we came to the States, my family and I did, back in 1973. So we came for 5 years, make a lot of money in America and move back right to the old country. But
oh, really? That was the plan.
So here we are 50 years later. April 17th was our 50-year anniversary in being in this great land.
Why did your family never go back after the five? Like when that five-year thing came, but there came a point where your father, three years in, said, okay, maybe we're going to go back in 10 years, or maybe we're going to go back. And I mean, because my family came here from Venezuela, my family went back.
Yep.
That's the difference. My father
never went back.
Well, our family went back because the two cousins, their mother was aging in Venezuela, and they beat the husbands up and said, we're going back and taking care of mom. And they went back in 1981 and mom came back and lives in Houston now. But for the most part, my family went to Venezuela and never came back.
Well, the reason why we never went back was our relatives said, hey, come to America. You can make a lot of money. What they didn't tell us was that you have to work your tail off. And so in year five, my dad, God rest his soul, he bought a place in Lexington Market, Mount Olympus. So we started slinging gyros and whatnot. So just life got in the way. And then he got sick later on. And of course, the great medical center we have here, Hopkins University of Maryland, kept them alive for many years. And that's why we never went back. And then, of course, you know, you get married, have kids, you settle. and you just don't go back. And
When you were a little boy, you thought you were going to live in Greece, though, right?
absolutely. I mean, I look, my world, I'm in a fourth grade with 2 months to go, and I'm planning my summer vacation, and Dad said, we're going to America next week. I'm like, what? So, it was like the rug gets pulled under you and you come to a different
So
country.
you didn't speak English when you got
You don't
here.
speak English? No,
Hold
not
on,
at
you were
all.
like 8 years old when you got here, didn't speak English?
I was 9 years old, didn't speak English, correct. 9 years old.
Wow.
Went to
But I
Aberdeen.
think of a little boy like you in my class.
Yeah.
Parents settle in Colgate. You're in my elementary school and you don't speak
Yeah.
English and you're 9 years old. I mean, we had some Asian kids, some Korean kids in my school whose parents didn't speak a word of English. And they were, I don't want to say this, so they were just socially different and they lived in our
Oh,
neighborhood. And
it's a
this is
tough,
19, this is Archie Bunker's Dundalk,
right. This is a
1976.
tough transition. It really is. So because I went to Aberdeen Elementary, and the only reason why the teachers passed me because I was so much more advanced in math. My math skills were through the roof because in Europe, I mean, they just beat the multiplication tables into your head. In fact, to this day, I still do my math in my head in Greek. I don't translate it over to English because they just beat it into you. 3 or 4 hours of homework a night. I don't think it's that way anymore, but back in the day. So math got me to fifth grade, and then and beyond that, it wasn't my vocabulary because I didn't have one. But it was
I
quite
gotta
the
tell you a
transition.
sad story because I was downtown this week with a friend of mine who is hiring, right? You're hiring people, we hire, right? And this person said to me, one of the biggest problems I have is that when a kid comes in, they can't add or subtract cash. Like if they're taking cash at a cash register, somebody hands them a $20 bill and the bill was $11.73. Even the tab will say you owe them $8.27 or whatever the number
That's
is,
sad.
right? That they wouldn't be able to do the math, and that makes them unemployable, right?
That's
Like
crazy.
literally, we go from talking sports to important issues here and your life in Greece and my family in Venezuela and how we stay here and how 30 years passes for an all-star game. But like, how do you go to school every day? First grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth, even if you only go half the time or some of the time, how do you have parents that don't say
Well,
this is a
yes, it
dollar
happens.
bill and if you get something for 79 cents, you need to get 21 cents back and that's two dimes and a penny or four nickels and a penny. Like I just what have you been doing all day if you can't
Wow,
add and you're motivated by money, just in
that's
general?
mind blowing. That's mind blowing. But the thing for me coming over as a 9 year old was in Greece, the only thing we had was soccer, football, nothing else. So we get here to the States, and there's baseball, there's basketball, there's all kind of great things. There's professional wrestling on TV. There's all kind of great things that I, as a young person, could lock into. And
These were
they,
new for your father, too. This
oh,
was all brand new to
everything was
dad,
brand
right?
new. And school in Greece, recess, we would take a rock and wrap it in aluminum foil from our lunches and make it a soccer ball. So here we have gym class and we have volleyball nets and soccer balls and volleyballs and baseballs. And man, I thought I died and went to heaven when it came to going to school and experiencing some things I never experienced as a 9 year
No wonder
old.
you appreciate America
Oh
so
my
much,
God, are you
spending
kidding
nine
me?
years in a place that I don't call Greece third world, second world, but not America in
Not America. No,
1975,
not
right?
at all. Not at all. So yeah, for me, it was mind blowing and eye opening in terms of what America had to offer. And I'm like, man, I've been missing out, but I fell in love with sports and been hooked ever since.
And you're hooked every Thursday on this program,
Hooked every Thursday.
and Sunday and back on Monday with me. We're getting close with football, right? I mean, it's like all of a sudden, I mean, I'm seeing DeCosta's pictures show up on the vacations and they're all out having a good time and Lamar's throwing to Beckham and they're all getting together in Florida and probably slinging a few iced teas after practice and
You know what I'm starting to see everywhere? There's no excuses. No excuses. From Marlon Humphrey, from Lamar Jackson. Look, it's time. Everybody's paid, right? Most of the guys have been paid. You still have a few with pending contracts or playing for contracts. But by and large, Roquan Smith, Marlon Humphrey, Lamar Jackson, these guys have had their bag. Ronnie Stanley, it's time to produce more than one playoff win with this group of players. And I think they're putting pressure on them, but also the media now is starting to chirp in and also put pressure on the team from the outside.
Well, I talked to a subject that you and I have talked about, and you and Luke have talked about when he's not on vacation this week, which is the running backs and how running backs are really getting screwed. I mean, there's kickers and punters and running backs. That's how the payment is going. And I just had the greatest conversation last week at Spirits West on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour with Chad Wiesling. Chad runs an NFL agency out of Canton, downtown Baltimore. And he came over in his Child's Play shirt and spent a couple hours with us. But the first hour of that conversation, Dennis, your name came up. I guess your ears were buzzing over security about how much we've talked about running backs and them as some sort of commodity. I don't know what the easiest thing it is for you to hire at a car dealership, but it feels like it's not easy to hire anything anywhere in the world today. But the running back thing, it feels like the NFL uses these guys up, doesn't care about them. And I know you talk more about the tread on the tire in college, that, yes, you know, they're carrying the ball 600, 800, 1,000 times. Ray Rice was used like a mule at Rutgers. And
900 carries in 3 years, Ness. You can look it up. 900 carries in 3 years. J.K. Dobbins had 700 carries and 100 touches, 100 receptions, 800 touches as a running back at Ohio State. These guys get the hell beat out of them in college.
For nothing. And not now anymore, nothing. Now the NIL, maybe that changes things.
And you know, when you get a guy like Josh Jacobs or Derrick Henry, who really flashed 1 year at Alabama, their backups, they don't have as much wear and tear on their tires as some of these other running backs. So that has to be a consideration for these NFL teams going forward as they draft these guys, when they ask exactly how much tread is left on the tires, how much wear and tear is left on those ligaments, right? The joints of a running back. You have to take their keep in mind, these guys are also carrying the load in high school, right? They're the horse in high school. They're the superstar. They're touching the ball a lot. They're pass blocking, run blocking. They're crash dummies. And all this wear and tear doesn't bode well for their future.
Well, I talked to Chad about that, and he represents Josh Jacobs. And what pressure is on that in regard to J.K. Dobbins and saying in the same way Lamar took a contract that's going to set Burrow and Herbert and all the rest of those guys up, this Josh Jacobs deal will set up Dobbins if Dobbins rushes for 1,300 yards this year and is the feature back and Lamar doesn't run the ball as much and they win 15 ball games and, you know, they win the Super Bowl and, you know, Dobbins is the MVP. I mean, all of that being said, when that happens,
right?
Who signs him if that's him? And that's a problem, I think, for the position and for who's going to play the position and for when Dennis and Nestor have grandkids. And we say, oh, our kid's a great runner. What are we going to do with him at Dundalk High School when he's 15? Dude, play linebacker, play safety, do something else.
You look at the great Earl Campbell, right? What do you think his grandfather said about him if he's still alive? The man is crippled, wheelchair bound for the most part, right? So, again, you have to look at those type of things. But I do caution fans out there, listeners, that you need some good running backs to give yourself a better chance of winning. The Ravens, when we had Latavius Murray and Devontae Freeman, they were not what J.K. Dobbins, what a healthy J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards present to the team. But then again, you look at the Super Bowl, name the running backs for the Chiefs and the Eagles in this past Super Bowl.
The difference between Terry Allen and Jamal Lewis, or the difference between pretty much Justin Forsett and almost anybody I've ever seen around here. I mean, Justin Forsett was really amazing at finding the holes and running the ball. I mean,
he was just a dude.
He understood the scheme of Kubiak. I mean, I've not seen the running game work that way. Even in 19, the running game in 19 worked because you have a freak at quarterback who's willing to get hit 21 times in a game against the Vikings and still got paid, still got his bag, right? And still apparently has knees and ligaments and joints. But now the pressure ramps up. And, you know, we saw Yankee Stadium this week where they're booing Aaron Hicks because he got 10 cents from the Steinbrenner family. And the pressure that Lamar's going to be under when he throws the losing pick against the Giants this year, right? Like he did last year.
Yeah, look, there's no question about that. But I think pressure is a good thing. Expectations are a good thing. And this team is, look, they're going to go as far as their health takes them. I still say to this day, the best ability is availability. And that comes to who I'm hiring, who the Ravens are hiring, who you're hiring. You want people that show up. You want people that are available. You want people that are hardy, that are gritty. But the injuries do happen in the NFL, Ness, and that's the unpredictability of the sport. And then you have gambling, which I think, you know, has a potential to really get the attention of a couple of players who might want to make some extra coin.
Well, that I've talked at length. I had a friend over 4th of July, and we got talking about gambling and sports and where it is. And I just watching these baseball games every night. I still love baseball. I love watching Palmer. Palmer, like, refuses to talk about it, kind of, sort of. They make the other guy read it. Like, There's, I'm not going to talk about gambling, or it's all I'm going to talk about. And I even saw it in the pregame on Wednesday night. They're like, Colton Cowser began the day at 150 to get his first hit. And now he's super, everybody's betting on him, right? For fun, I guess, so they can root for him. I'll put 10 bucks on Cowser getting a single tonight. If he gets a single, I win $18, whatever. I don't even know. It's just not my jam, right? It's not why I watch
Right.
sports. It was never the reason I love the Colts. It was never the reason I loved Earl Campbell and Dan Pastorini. It was never the reason I loved basket. It wasn't even really the reason I loved horse racing. I liked the stories and the people in horse racing. I was never like a horse racing gambler. That being said, the pregame show now is dominated by talk of a guy coming up making his major league debut and how you can invest in it and make money on it and how it's affecting the marketplace to make money on it. And then the announcers say, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And I think to myself, isn't that interesting that every other debut in the history of debuts, going back to Matt Wieters and everything before, we weren't talking about sports in that way. And that's now, it's changed the language, right? It's a new language. It's like cursive to your dad when he got here in 73, right? Like,
Absolutely.
It's a new language. And it's the language forever. And if you're gonna be Rob Long, you're gonna talk about gambling in the pregame show. If you're gonna be Brett Hollander, you're gonna talk about gambling in the pregame show. And I tell you what, when Rob Long got his gig here and replaced me 20 years ago, first thing I said is don't be cohorting with gamblers, because
right.
that'll be the first thing that gets my press pass taken away. You know, I have people come up to me and ask me if Chad Steele took my press pass because I'm a gambler.
Right, sure you are.
You know,
No,
because
listen.
people are now guessing why they took my press pass, because
oh,
I clearly did something wrong, right? I had to have done something wrong. The something wrong for all of my career would have been hanging out with Mike Messina and then going out to Vegas and betting $5,000 that he was going to lose, because I
right.
saw the fight that he got into with Hasselbeck, and he said his shoulder hurt when we were at the Van Halen concert together. That's all true, by the way, except the gambling part. But if I had done that, Rick Vaughn would have said, dude, you're canoodling with gamblers. You know, I saw touts get thrown out of Radio Row back in the day because they were scamming table to table, trying to get intel and get information and all that. It's all sitting there now. And like, it is, I don't want to say troublesome. I'm not troubled by it. They should be troubled by it. And it is
okay.
In the Major League Baseball parlance, when John Angelos is thinking of the future, what this is, gambling is the new revenue stream that's going to replace cable television for them, because these ads, they have a hose. Literally, the hose means you can bet all night and you'll win all night, and your wife will come home and shower you with things because you bet the Colton Cowser thing. It's itchy to me to watch the broadcast, the baseball broadcast, for them after knowing what I know as a 55-year-old, knowing what I know about poor Latin kids coming up here and playing for 5 minutes in the big leagues and umpires not making any money. And like, I know too much to be dangerous on all this. And I always avoided it because I always thought it would cost me my career. I didn't realize it would be, you know, something Chad Steele has between his ears that would cost me my career. But I always thought that would be the first thing that would get you thrown out, is if you started talking to other people in the press box about how much you were gambling on sports, and that you're in the locker room talking to pitchers and catchers and managers and coaches and players. That's just, I mean, that's Pete Rose, right? Literally.
Well, there's a website, fanatics.com, that I've purchased Ravens jerseys from before, and all kind of, you know, sports gear.
They're now a gambling brand.
And I saw where this guy, and I never knew his name before, I don't know, I forget his first name. Last name is Ruben. He has a 4th of July bash every year. And now he's getting into gambling. And this party, he had Jay-Z.
I saw the white party on the boat, right?
White party on the boat. It was like a Tom Brady. It was a who's who. But this guy now is getting heavily into gambling, which is, again, it's just everywhere. And you have to wonder, it's always been there, right? And at what point does it really influence the outcome of games?
Well, there is no check and balance.
No.
That's the problem. And that's what's going to get them. I mean, maybe they can buy off Congress. I don't know.
Hey, listen.
But like, if you and I got together and said, we're going to get together between Coons Ford and WNST somewhere in Pikesville, and we're going to get together and put together a new game. We're going to make a game up. It's going to be cards or dice or, you know, blow into the kazoo. I don't know. But make up a game, and you and I are going to make the game, set the rules, hire officials that report to us, that work for us, and we get to decide whether red wins or black wins, whether it's a ball or a strike, whether it's a touchdown or an incomplete, whether it's a foul or not a foul going through the lane. Like, it's insane. And I talk to my lottery people, you know, and I pimp the lottery. I got lottery tickets here, lottery, and that's the lottery is a fixed game by the government with complete, incredible oversight to make sure that nobody's cheating. And that Doug Lloyd, who did the show this week, doesn't know or can't affect what the number is on Saturday night. This sports thing is a whole, I mean, every time I think about it and talk about it, which is every day, because it's in the baseball games. And I'm thinking to myself, Ben McDonald, who played the game, who couldn't have anything to do with gambling because of Pete Rose, is now on the air having to opine as to whether betting on or against a home run. And Palmer, at the beginning of an inning the other night, said, "This is going to be the big inning. I had a feeling." Don't you have a feeling? You have a feeling? Now, if I'm home and I'm thinking, if Jim Palmer has a feeling, I better have a feeling too. Right? I mean, Dennis, I can't believe how many people in the 1990s here would call me saying, "Ravens a good bet this week?" I mean, you were out there talking to Marvin, right? Are the Ravens a good bet? I listen to Nestor on Friday for his picks. I want to hear his picks because they're free, and Louis DeTout at 900. Go bet at USA Today charges me $100. Jim Feist charged me $100 for that information. You know, like it's not like the, it's like insider trading with the stock. It
Yeah, I
is
love it.
insider trading in the stock market if you're doing it. But, and I talked to the horse racing guys about this back in May, and I had Dick Girardi on, I had Marty McGee on, and I would tell you, other than Andy Beyer, and they would tip a cap to him, they're the greatest horse racing people of this generation in this country. They are in that top 10 of whatever you think of Stephen A. Smith or whatever you would think of anybody who's a leader in their world. These are lifer horsemen, lifer gamblers, degenerate gamblers, I call them. But they, because there's a gambling window in the press box at Pimlico, Laurel, there was one at Bowie, the media could just go up and bet. So you go down and talk to all the horses. You can't talk to the horses, but you can talk to everybody around the horses, and you get the hot breath of the tip on the rail, and you're putting it in the newspaper, right? Or online in modern era, and you can go bet on it. And I asked both of these guys, and I love them. They're friends of mine. I said, "Lifetime, are you ahead or behind?" And they're both like, "Oh, behind, behind."
Didn't even have to
And
think about it.
I'm thinking to myself, "Well, how could anybody be ahead?"
You can't. No, what I love about people at gamble is they'll tell you when they won. I just won 5 grand, 2 grand, 10 grand. But they never tell you how much they lost to win that 2 grand, five
Well, you
grand, ten
lose in
grand.
shame. I've lost money in casinos and gone to
Oh
bed
my
and thought I
gosh.
shouldn't have done that. And that's why I don't do it anymore. But I mean, the lottery's fun. I mean, for me, my wife likes playing jackpots. It's
I hear
$500 million
you.
this week. It's not, we always see these ads, you know, gamble responsibly, play responsibly, know
Sure.
your limits, set your limits. Like all of these things they do while they have the fire hose out, right? And Jim Palmer has a feeling in the third inning after this first single that this is going to be the big inning. It's just,
Well,
you know,
you mentioned
we didn't want to go in this direction,
no.
but it's dangerous. And the reason it's dangerous, and I'll stand up for my lottery folks here who support us and keep us in business the way the Coons family does and you and everybody else. The lottery's like a real game with real odds and real
You're
oversight.
not going to
And
have
there's
a
no fix
Right.
going
You don't have
on.
a human element in there where you mentioned kickers, punters, and running backs. Look, what concerns me as a fan is I'm watching the Super Bowl and the long snapper who's making nothing has an errant snap and which causes the field goal to get missed and the team that should have won loses. That's what concerned me as a fan. And of course it was a bad snap and that's why the kick got shanked and
Go watch any boxing movie. Go watch Pulp Fiction,
Oh, I
you
know.
know, and you know, throw in the fight, throw in the game, you know, that's just pride effing with you. You
Right,
know what I
right,
mean?
right.
Just get your bag, you know what I
Your
mean?
bag, get your
And
bag.
there's just too many poor people involved. There are too few Lamar Jacksons and too many long snappers and officials and just people that could affect the outcome. There's
100%.
nobody that can affect the outcome of a lottery draw. Like that is my. Did
No,
you
I
ever
get it.
see the McDonald's scratch-off story of the big winners of the mafia getting involved in the McDonald's? It's the
Nope.
greatest piece I've ever read. I believe it was on the I've shared it several times. I'll share it again. It was a long form piece. Do you remember the McDonald's Big Mac, you win fries, the Olympics,
Sure, of course.
scratch, right? And the but the Monopoly game, you always had to get Park Place or Boardwalk to win $1 billion or whatever. And those pieces were guarded. And there was a company in Georgia. It's too long for me to tell you on your show. It was made into a, it might have been called McMillions. It was a
Okay.
mini series, like five or six pieces with the real people. It, like, they talked to the aunts, the uncles, the people that were shaving money, the guy that got the phone call and said, "Hey, do you want $1 million? I have a winning piece. All you have to do is claim it and give me my vig." Like, and there was a scam going on, and it took McDonald's security like a dozen years to find.
Really? Huh.
And they had printers. Like, it is unbelievable, and it's a true story, and it's better than any Ocean's 11 or any movie. But go check. But this is the advanced level. People will go to cheat and to win. Dennis, I had a contest here. I made the biggest mistake. I did a purple palace contest. We gave away a man cave. Okay. We gave away a bunch of money and this and that. And it was who has the best purple man cave in the city. And the competition came
I
in, and
remember that. I remember that.
every one of these people was cheating. Every one of these people was cheating. And I didn't even, and then they all threatened to sue me when they didn't win. Had a guy in Miller's Island send me legal that he was going to sue me for not winning
What do they
a
have? Fake
purple.
pictures of their man caves?
No. They were stuffing the ballot. They
I gotcha.
were gaming the system, you know?
Well, unfortunately, most people, that's what they do.
Yeah,
It's sad.
I don't know what to say about that, but that is the problem with it. And that's why I itch when I watch the baseball gambling thing. I mean,
Yeah.
it's just, and it's almost feels like too much too
Well,
soon in some way,
if
but
it
it's
feels
also, it
dirty.
feels desperate to me. It feels like baseball, this is a desperate play for them to
Yeah.
gain revenue after ostracizing Pete Rose and understanding Kennesaw Mountain Lake, like understanding that Frank Hornig or Paul Hornig, like understanding that this, it's been bad for a reason. Pete Rozelle didn't like it for a reason. Like, none of those people liked it for a reason, and now they're in business with it. And there's no untangling it, and there's no oversight. I guess that if you think Roger Goodell is oversight, you haven't been paying attention. If you
Right.
think Chad Steele is oversight, you haven't been paying attention. I
Well,
mean, really?
that's
I mean, I'm just being honest. If you think these are fair-minded people. Or you know, high integrity people. Roger Goodell, high integrity. I mean, come on.
look, if
Let's
it
go
feels
back.
dirty,
Colin Kaepernick, Redskins cheerleaders.
if it
You know,
feels dirty, it
let's.
probably is. That's I've always said that. If it feels
Jerry
that way, it is that
Richardson,
way.
right? I mean,
Yeah.
we can go through all of this, right? The John Gruden incident, like all of this. If you think this, all this is on the up and up, go bet on it, have at it, and it's fun for everybody. But it's dangerous for them, and
Yeah.
that's the
To
part that
me, look,
I would say out loud.
it's no different than WWE. It's sports entertainment, right? Have fun with it. Don't bet on it. Just have fun with it. And understand that the outcome is it's a coin flip. It really is. I mean, if you think that the outcome is anything more than that or less than that, you're mistaken.
Well, we're
That's
going to hold Lamar
any
Jackson
event.
accountable for that coin flip is what we're going to. John Harbaugh, we're going to hold
Hey,
him accountable.
just win, baby. In the famous word of the late great Al Davis, just win. That's all we
Hey, man,
want. We
it's
want a
4th of
winner.
July week. Enjoy the second weekend.
You got it.
All-Star game this week coming up. Adley Rutschman with his dad pitching to him in his hometown
Yeah, it's a great
All-Star game.
story.
I hate the Home Run Derby. I'm going to watch it on Monday night because of Adley
Yeah,
Rutschman. And
there you go.
you know, I've got Baltimore fever right now. You know, for all. The Orioles and the Ravens this year, and I've said this, it's relevant, and it's relevant everywhere I go, every day. Our radio station's relevant because we talk about it. Luke Jones is relevant because he reports on it. And I think the Orioles this week, and this sort of, you called it a speed bump on my show earlier this week, getting through this speed bump and figuring out a little bit of rest next week for at least 21 of them, and get together next week and, you know, make the second half better. And hey, big charge on Elias to make the team better. They need to make the team better.
100% pitcher, hitter, we'll figure it out. Ness, as always, I appreciate your time. Keep doing great things.
I got to go eat my peach cake now. It's
All
getting
right, man.
cold.
Have fun. There he goes, Nestor J. Aparicio with his peach cake here on 1570 AM. Baltimore Positive WNST. We'll take a quick break and come back right after this.